Today's program is an encore presentation of a previous broadcast. From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. The Cambrian explosion was one of the most spectacular events in the history of life. In a short window of geological time, an abundance of new animals and new animal body designs arose fully formed without evidence of any evolutionary ancestors. Charles Darwin viewed this as an inexplicable mystery and intellectual dilemma for his theory of evolution. Today, Hank is joined by two of the leading scholars in the intelligent design movement, Dr. Jonathan Wells and Dr. Stephen Meyer. Both men appear in the DVD, Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record, and they're here to help us resolve the conflict. And now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Today we are considering a dogma which was virtually unheard of before the 19th century. Within years, of course, it morphed from humble beginnings in the British Isles into a worldwide phenomenon, and millions today extol its virtues, and they do so with unbending devotion. In fact, I might say with evangelistic fervor. By the 20th century, the cardinal doctrines of this dogma have permeated bastions of education and penetrated corridors of influence, power. Masters of mass communication are championing its tenets, and academic institutions are churning out its messengers. Its proponents consider themselves keepers of orthodoxy, and they react with cult-like fanaticism when their presuppositions are questioned. Of course, the dogma that I'm talking about is Darwinian evolution, and the intellectual revolution it initiated provided the scientific substructure for some of what I would call the most significant atrocities in human history. In fact, Hitler's genocidal mania was fueled by Darwin's racist contention that civilized races of humanity will almost certainly exterminate and replace savage races throughout the world. Sigmund Freud, who was the founder of modern psychology, was also a faithful follower of Charles Darwin, and his belief that man was merely a sophisticated animal led him to postulate that anxiety and paranoia and mental disorders of every kind embody modes of behavior that were once adaptive for the human species and stages of evolution. But nowhere, from my perspective, were the far-reaching consequences of the cosmogenic mythology of Darwinian evolution more evident than in the pseudoscience of eugenics. Of course, eugenics hypothesized that the gene pool was corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people, and so the plan was to identify individuals who were feeble-minded and then to stop them from breeding by isolation in institutions by sterilization. That sounds draconian. It sounds impossible. How could that happen? And yet the logical progression from evolution to eugenics was hardly a surprise. What was breathtaking is the vast rapidity with which this baseless theory was embraced by the cultural elite. I mean, its supporters ranged from Theodore Roosevelt to Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. And research was funded through Carnegie and Rockefeller foundations and then carried out in prestigious universities like Stanford and Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And then you had legislation which addressed the quote-unquote problem posed by eugenics that was passed in blue states ranging from New York to California. In fact, eugenics was backed by the National Academy of Sciences as well as the American Medical Association. And those who resisted eugenics were considered backward and ignorant. And it wasn't until the ghastly reality of eugenics reached full bloom in the genocidal mania of German death camps that it quietly vanished into the night. Well, we can thank God that eugenics has faded into the shadowy recesses of history, but the tragic consequences of the evolutionary dogma that birthed it are still with us today. And that is why Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD, is so important for you to have. This issue is not an issue that we can leave to the hired guns. They're equipping us so that we can take this issue and its consequences into the marketplace of ideas and deal with this in an intelligent way with gentleness and with respect. But make no mistake, we're talking about an idea that has dramatic consequences. It's not as though we can say no harm, no foul. No, ideas have consequences. And this idea, this great cosmogenic myth, has had great consequences for humanity. And again, that's why we're discussing the issue today and why I want you to get Darwin's Dilemma. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, and of course you can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. So delighted to have Dr. Stephen Meyer. He earned his PhD in the History and Philosophy of Science at Cambridge. We also have Jonathan Wells, also a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, two PhDs, one in molecular and cell biology from Berkeley, the other in religious studies from Yale. Both qualified to speak on this subject, eminently qualified, and again, delighted to have them on the broadcast. Welcome to both of you once again, and thank you for your time.
Delighted to be here.
Yeah, great to be with you.
I want to start, Stephen, with you for just a moment and ask you a little bit about what I just vented on, consequences. Ideas have consequences. The cosmogenic idea or dogma of evolution certainly has had consequences, not only in the 20th century, but certainly in our epoch of time as well.
Well, absolutely. We often illustrate this with Darwin had a famous tree. We have a tree of our own to illustrate the connection between ideas. There are many people who are concerned about I sometimes say that people have a sense of dis-ease about our culture, that there's something going wrong, and there are many things that trouble people from the insanity plea in the courts, the everybody being a victim idea, the sexual revolution, the denial of the sanctity of life, eugenics across the 20th century, the rise of totalitarian political regimes that were, kind of a law unto themselves. And all these things seem unconnected, and yet there's a common strain of thought that does inform these various problems in the culture, and that is what we sometimes call a materialistic worldview, the idea that matter and energy are all there is, that there's no ultimate purpose to human life, that our colleague Philip Johnson has put it this way. He's described the materialistic worldview this way. He says it's the idea that in the beginning were the particles became complex stuff, the complex stuff evolved, it eventually produced us, and humans came up with the idea of God. So there is a God in the materialistic worldview, but God is at the end of the process, not at the beginning, and God is a myth. And that worldview leads to the idea that there's no objective standard of morality, no ultimate purpose to human existence, nothing special about human life. But the real question is, where does it come from? What made that materialistic way of thinking so persuasive, especially in the elite culture? And I think you do have to trace that back to the science of the 19th century with the rise of the Darwinian theory, giving a materialistic account of the creation of new animal forms and other forms of evolutionary theory, chemical evolution, which is what my book Signature in the Cell is about, the attempts to explain the origin of life apart from any kind of design. So if you look at the scientific theories that arose in the 19th century and take them as a group, they have the impact of essentially establishing this materialistic worldview. In the beginning were the particles evolved, they evolved and formed complex organisms, and eventually those evolved into us. But there was no design, no direction, no ultimate purpose to this, and no one to whom the human race is ultimately accountable. So there's a connection between the disturbing cultural trends that many people are picking up on and the materialistic way of thinking that gives rise to those disturbing trends, and then the deep root of that, which is these scientific theories that deny that there was anything beyond the material realm.
This DVD is titled Darwin's Dilemma. We should start out communicating exactly what Darwin's dilemma was.
Well, Darwin was a scientist and therefore committed in theory to following the evidence wherever it leads. But the problem with the Cambrian explosion is that, and the Cambrian fossil record all around the world, is that it points in exactly the opposite direction that his theory indicates we should be seeing as far as the evidence. We find Darwin's most famous icon, as Jonathan has put it, is the universal tree of life, the idea that all the living forms that exist today, whether we're looking at birds or reptiles or mammals, all evolved from simpler pre-existing forms going back to a simple primordial organism. And that process of evolution would have created a great kind of branching tree over time as one form morphed gradually into other more complicated forms, which in turn morphed and evolved into other more complicated forms right up to the present. On that picture of the history of life, you should expect to see a series of transitional forms going back to the very earliest times in geologic history in the fossil record, and you should see those gradual transformations. What the fossil record shows in the Cambrian is precisely the opposite. And the Cambrian is extremely significant because that's the place where the first major animal forms arise. And instead of seeing those animal forms arise gradually through a series of transitional intermediates of ancestral precursors that are each slightly different than the one preceding it, what you find is the sudden appearance of major new forms of body design and no ancestral forms to which they connect in the preceding fossil layers. So it's a dilemma for Darwin because he, as a scientist, was committed to following the evidence where it leads, but the evidence is leading precisely in the opposite direction of what his theory says.
What's interesting to me in the DVD, you not only have Dr. Jonathan Wells, yourself, Stephen Meyer, Richard Sternberg, Doug Axe, but you also have quotes from Stephen Jay Gould, Richard Dawkins. You have an interview with Simon Morris, and these are evolutionists.
And James Valentine, a leading paleontologist from Berkeley, Paul Chen, a paleomarine biologist at the University of San Francisco. It's really a star-studded cast in the film as far as the science goes.
But wouldn't you think, Stephen, that at the very beginning, these guys would say, Darwin's dilemma is my dilemma. It seems to put an end to the evolutionary cosmogenic myth.
Well, there are scientists who are committed to a naturalistic worldview who are not open to the concept of design. And they are yet nevertheless honest about what the science does and does not establish. James Valentine, a very prominent paleontologist from UC Berkeley, wrote a wonderful book in 2004 called On the Origin of the Phyla. And the phyla or phylum is the broadest classification in the animal world. And the new animal forms each represent completely new phyla or new body designs. And in his book On the Origin of the Phyla, Valentine was very explicit about the inability of contemporary neo-Darwinism to account for the pattern of fossil evidence, but also account in a mechanistic sense, give a causal explanation of how you would generate all this fantastically new form. So Valentine is committed to an evolutionary approach, but has been very honest about its limitations and deficiencies with respect to the origin of the major new forms of life as they arise across the history of life.
And of course, Walter Cronkite, who died, a media icon, in that same vein, believed that his father's 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 father, going back 5 million years or so ago, was an ape. In evolutionary theory, this means that his ancestors were apes. Does that mean, Dr. Wells, that his descendants in the future are going to be some different species?
If the theory were true, yes, it would imply that. Of course, I don't buy the theory. I think it doesn't fit the evidence.
And again, you want to follow the evidence wherever it leads.
Yes, in fact, to that long list of baleful social consequences that you gave us, which I think is absolutely true, I would add that Darwinism hurts science. It promotes a commitment to materialism at the expense of evidence. And science really progresses only when we follow the evidence wherever it leads, and Darwinism won't let us do that.
If you loved Privileged Planet, you are going to be intoxicated by Darwin's Dilemma. It is going to equip and educate you so that you can make a difference while there is yet time. The edifice of evolution is going to fall, just like the Berlin Wall. It will fall. The evidence is just too great against Darwin's theory. In an age of scientific enlightenment, it is no longer tenable, and you have to be on the vanguard of announcing its demise. Darwin's Dilemma will help you do that. It is available. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And if you can support this ministry prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can do that with all the addresses I just gave you, including in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back.
The big question that the Cambrian explosion poses is, where does all that new information come from? We know that new information can only come from intelligence, and so the burst of genetic information during the Cambrian era provides compelling evidence that animal life is the product of intelligent design rather than a blind, undirected process like natural selection. That's a quote from Dr. Stephen Meyer, our guest today, and scientist interviewed in Darwin's Dilemma. Order Darwin's Dilemma from CRI when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will return with more of this fascinating program right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year Great Tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes. But the next question is, when did or when will this Great Tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers in presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple. The long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today.
For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.
Darwin's Dilemma recreates the prehistoric world of the Cambrian era with state-of-the-art computer animation and features interviews with numerous scientists in addition to our guest today, Dr. Jonathan Wells and Dr. Stephen Meyer, including leading evolutionary paleontologist Simon Conway Morris of Cambridge University and James Valentine of the University of California at Berkeley, and evolutionary biologist Richard Sternberg, a research collaborator at the National Museum of Natural History. Order Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD from CRI, when you call 888-7000-274 or go onto our secure website at www.equip.org. And now here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
And I appreciate both these guys so much. They are not only brilliant, but they can speak in language that even I can understand. And you will find that to be so true when you get Darwin's Dilemma and watch it. They are plain speaking, although very brilliant men. They're communicating in language that we can comprehend, we can assimilate, and then we can use it to make a difference. Darwin's Dilemma, it's available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Again, I'm speaking to Stephen Meyer, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He is a man who earned his PhD in the history and philosophy of science from Cambridge. And Dr. Jonathan Wells, he's also a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He has two PhDs, one in molecular and cell biology from Berkeley and one in religious studies from Yale. And again, pleased to have both of them with us. Dr. Wells, question for you with respect to the Cambrian explosion. Can you explain to people exactly what that is?
Well, I'll give it a shot. There are two aspects of the explosion worth noting. One is how short it was. Life supposedly began on the Earth about 3.8 billion years ago. And if we compress that into a 24-hour period, so we have a clock now, we start the clock, the first life form is a single-celled organism. And we let the clock run, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 hours, all we have are these single-celled organisms. All the way up past the 20th hour on the clock. And then at the 21st hour, in the space of about 2 minutes, we have an explosion. That's where the term comes from, an explosion of all the major animal body forms, multicellular organisms. The second aspect of the explosion is the extent of it. We humans have a hard skeleton inside and a soft body on the outside. And so we're in what is called a phylum that includes reptiles, birds, fish, and so on. Now, an insect has a hard skeleton on the outside and a soft body on the inside. So does a crab. Those animals are in another phylum because they have a totally different body plan. Well, there are several dozen different phyla, all of them very fundamentally different in their body plan. And according to Darwin's theory, as Steve said a few minutes ago, you would expect these different phyla to emerge after millions and millions of generations of gradually branching transitional forms. But what we find in the Cambrian explosion is that all the major phyla appear at the same time in this very brief geological instant of time. And it's the most remarkable feature of the fossil record.
And would you say to people listening in that not only do they appear abruptly, but they are enormously complex?
Already, as soon as they appear. I mean, an insect. Well, there weren't insects in the Cambrian explosion, but there were members of the phylum that insects are in. And when they appear, as you say, they have compound eyes, articulated limbs, and bodies every bit as complex as we see today, right there at the beginning.
Question for you, Dr. Meyer. Someone listening in right now saying in their minds, you know, I'm going to get this DVD because I don't even believe there was such a period as the Cambrian period, and therefore this DVD wouldn't be relevant to me. What would you say to them?
Well, there's pretty good evidence that life a long time ago was different than it is now, and there's been an orderly progression in the history of life of layers of rock laid upon each other, and so geologists have been able to name and label those layers, and so we know from watching the way sediments are laid down today that older stuff is on the bottom and younger stuff gets laid down on top of it. So if you go back in time, you can get a picture of the history of life, the progression of life forms as they come into existence, and the striking thing about that progression is that it's decidedly non-Darwinian, and it's fascinating. I mean, we have these impressions in rocks of creatures that are, in many cases, no longer with us, and we can really see what they were like. It's an absolutely fascinating thing to study just for its own sake. And then there are other creatures that are with us still today. One of the forms that's preserved in the Cambrian is a comb jelly, and there's been absolutely no evolution over that entire span of geologic history. Comb jellies today are pretty much the same kind of critters that first appeared in the Cambrian. So there's a whole bunch of puzzles here from a Darwinian point of view. The sudden appearance, the absence of transitional form, the stasis, the absence of change over long periods of time. And I think the fundamental puzzle is actually, how do you build these animals? Because the Darwinian mechanism, for many reasons that we could explain, is just not a sufficient or adequate cause for the production of the kind of intricate and integrated complexity that we see in these organisms. And one thing I think I should just make clear is that the Cambrian explosion is not some isolated anomaly for modern evolutionary theory. The central question that Darwin was trying to explain in his book, The Origin of Species, in 1859, was the origin of new biological form. And that question is still unresolved. In fact, there was a book that came out with MIT Press just a couple years ago called On the Origin of Organismal Form. And in the introduction to this book, written by some very leading evolutionary and theoretical biologists, the authors of the introduction, the editors, listed a series of questions that modern Darwinism had failed to answer, and one of them was the origin of form. And I thought to myself, but wait, I thought that was the question it was supposed to have resolved, and I think that's where we are. 150 years on, we have this puzzling pattern of appearance in the fossil record, but we also have no evolutionary mechanism that can account for the origin of these new complex integrated structures, these new body plans and body designs that arise with the Cambrian animals.
You are a committed Christian as well as an accomplished scientist. How important is it for all of us to be able to not only, as Christians, be able to read the scriptures for all it's worth, but learn to read the book of nature?
Well, I think that was one of the ideas that inspired the scientific revolution, and this is one of the things that really I think is unfortunate about the impression that people get of science in modern times. There's been a kind of historical revisionism that's gone on that has told us that science and religion are at odds, and that there's been this warfare between science and religion, and the aggressors in the war were always the religionists, the church, the Christians who were trying to suppress all the knowledge that science had to give in favor of their superstitious notions. In fact, if you read the literature on the origin of modern science, the period that science historians call the period of the scientific revolution, what you find is that historians are nearly unanimous in agreement about the important positive role that the Christian worldview played in sponsoring modern science. There was a key concept that the early scientists, Kepler, Newton, Galileo, Hooke, Copernicus, many of the early scientists believed that nature was intelligible. And it was intelligible because it had been designed by a rational, intelligent agent, namely the God of the Bible. And because nature was intelligible, and because we had been made in the image of the God who had made nature, it was possible for us to discern the patterns, the order, and the design that was built into nature. Kepler summarized it beautifully, saying that it was the calling of the natural philosopher, which was the name for scientists at the time, it was the calling of the natural philosopher to think God's thoughts after him.
Quick question, Dr. Wells. How do you make a case for intelligent design on the basis of the Cambrian explosion?
Well, it's important to note that intelligent design is not, as some of its critics claim, an argument from ignorance. We don't look at something and say, well, we don't know what caused it, therefore it must be intelligently designed. Nobody does that. As Steve Meyer has eloquently written, design is actually in some ways using the present to understand the past. When we look at complex specified information in the present, such as we see in the DNA molecule, for example, the sequence in DNA that specifies proteins, that kind of information in our experience arises only from intelligence. And the interesting thing about the Cambrian explosion in this regard is that these different forms of animals required a vast amount of this information, this genetic information, to make the proteins they needed for their bodies. And this information appears to have come into existence, as far as the fossil record is concerned, very quickly. Well, the only source we know for such information is intelligence, and especially when it arises so rapidly, the inference to design is pretty hard to escape.
Let me see if I can slip in Victor quickly, and he's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Victor, you're on with Dr. Jonathan Wells and Dr. Stephen Meyer.
Thank you. Thank you for your show, Hank. I appreciate it. I have a question about theistic evolution and those who endorse it, such as Drs. Francis Collins and Kenneth Miller. Of course, theistic evolution entails that God used evolution to create life, which means that there's intelligence, the mind of God, behind it all. So why are certain theistic evolutionists like Kenneth Miller and Francis Collins against the intelligent design movement?
Well, that's an extraordinarily perceptive question. The key issue is, what do you mean by evolution? How is that term being understood? How is it defined? If by evolution you simply mean change over time, then if God is directing that change over time, that's a form of intelligent design. On the other hand, if by evolution you mean the purely undirected mechanism, Darwinian mechanism of natural selection acting on random mutations, then you've got a problem, a different kind of problem, because the Darwinian mechanism is asserted by the Darwinists to be a purely undirected, mindless process. If you're saying that God is directing the Darwinian mechanism, when you say God is directing evolution, if you mean by that God is directing the Darwinian mechanism, you're basically talking nonsense. It's an oxymoron. Not even God can direct a wholly undirected process, because as soon as it's directed, it's no longer undirected. So either you have a logical incoherence associated with theistic evolution, or you have a form of intelligent design. And I think that's a great dilemma that that none of the prominent advocates of theistic evolution have wanted to clarify. And if you go on the BioLogos website, Collins and his colleagues are pretty cagey about whether they believe that evolution is directed or undirected. In fact, at one point I heard Collins say that it could be directed. But I think that's the great question. Is it directed or undirected? If it's undirected, it's a form of at best, deism. And yet Collins is a professing evangelical Christian, so how do you square those two things? If it's directed, it's a form of intelligent design, and yet Miller and Collins are publicly critical of that. So I'm not quite sure how to make that position coherent.
We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Wells and Dr. Stephen Meyer. My purpose in doing this broadcast today is to put Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD, into your hands.
To order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record, call 888-7000-CRI.
That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank and his guests will return right after these messages.
The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Charles Darwin had envisioned the evolution of life through many small, undirected steps. Yet the fossil record reveals no such pattern of gradual development. Instead, early in the Cambrian period, compound eyes, articulated limbs, sophisticated sensory organs, and skeletons burst into existence seemingly out of nowhere. How do we reconcile Darwin's vision with the evidence? Order Darwin's Dilemma on DVD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online 24 hours a day at www.equip.org. And now with his guests, Jonathan Wells and Stephen Meyer, here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
I am just passionate about the subject at hand. Many of you know that I myself walked away from the Christian faith early on because I did not get substantive answers to my questions. I thought that Darwin had long ago explained away in the beginning God, and therefore, because I didn't get satisfactory answers, I thought there were no satisfactory answers. We live in a day and age now where we have incredible DVDs, not just books, but DVDs that have been developed with computer animation, just in striking settings. We can sit down for maybe an hour with our kids, watch the DVD, and this DVD has all kinds of features. It has a bonus section in which I was just watching Dr. Wells answering questions, a Q&A session on the DVD. On top of that, it has a virtual museum. You can see fossils in that virtual museum. It's an incredible product. I wish I would have had that when I was in high school. You don't have to wish. It's available right now. You can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, quick question for Jonathan Wells, and we'll go to our questions. Dr. Wells, one of the problems I see with the evolutionary dogma is that the icon has become the argument. You have Darwin's Tree of Life, you have the ape to man icon, and that now becomes the argument. It becomes a dogmatic declaration as opposed to some kind of definitive answer.
Absolutely right. I'm sure you, Hank, have heard the term that evolution is a fact. Well, of course, evolution has lots of meanings. If we simply mean change over time, then of course it's a fact. But usually in that context, it means Darwin's theory, especially this branching tree of life idea, where all organisms are connected by transitional forms to a common ancestor. And that's asserted to be a fact. Actually, it's not. It doesn't fit the evidence. How could it possibly be a fact?
We're getting social media questions. Here's one. Michael in Illinois has a very erudite question regarding the theory of Darwinian evolution. He writes, given that no other theory accounts as well for the fossil record, which today is tremendous and undeniable, which accounts for interspecies relationships, which through DNA analysis are today obvious, categorizes all plants and animals according to those relationships in a logically coherent, empirically convincing way, boy, this is a great question, and comports with natural selection, a process we can observe among species from microbes on up, how can you rule out Darwin's theory? The fact that Darwin's theory has sometimes been used for evil purposes does not warrant its rejection any more than, say, the misuse of a kitchen knife would warrant the banning of cutlery. How do you answer that, Dr. Wells?
Well, in a sense, I agree with that. If the theory actually holds up under the evidence, then we have to accept it and try to deal with, you know, potentially evil consequences of it. But the fact is, the theory does not hold up. For example, the quote you just gave us says something about natural selection. Well, natural selection happens. Nobody denies it. But every time we observe natural selection, it does not change the species. It operates within existing species. It's like artificial selection, which people were observing for centuries before Darwin came along. Nobody questions the power of selection to modify individuals in an existing species. The problem is natural selection has never been observed to produce a new species, much less a new organ or body plan. And yet that's the essence of Darwin's theory. So this idea that Darwin's theory is scientifically undeniable is simply false.
What about, Dr. Meyer, the undeniable evidence, according to Michael, for interspecies relationships, which through DNA analysis today is obvious?
Oh, I was hoping you'd ask me about that. This is where I'm a philosopher of science by training, and sometimes I've been dismissed because I'm not a scientist. But this is where it's helpful to have someone from outside the discipline do some logical accounting. These studies that are often used to develop phylogenetic relationships compare genes from different species and for alleged similarities, and if similarities be found, then an inference is made about an organism that was a common ancestor, allegedly a common ancestor for both organisms. Problem is that the computer programs that analyze the evolutionary relationships between gene sequences in different organisms are programmed with the assumption that there must have been a common ancestor. So you actually have two different possibilities when you encounter similar gene sequences. Similar gene sequences could be the result of a designer using a well-established strategy for building the same basic parts that are used in completely different systems, or it might be the result of common descent. But the computer program is programmed in such a way as to ensure that the outcome confirms common descent. The programs are built with the assumption that similarity means common ancestry. So you can't take the outcome of those phylogenetic analyses as evidence for common ancestry when common ancestry is assumed from the very outset. Moreover, there's some very interesting new developments in genetics and genomics that are challenging the idea that we only have similarity between, say, humans and chimps. There's a problem known as orphan genes, the genes that are found only in particular organisms, completely unique. If similarity means common ancestry, what do completely unique genetic sequences indicate? Moreover, the so-called junk DNA that is was thought by the Darwinists to be a compelling evidence of non-design and of the activity of the random mutation and selection process. The junk DNA is now known to have many important functions, and overall the function of the junk DNA is much like an operating system in a computer that's telling the other information in the genome when to turn on and when to turn off and when to be expressed and when to be suppressed. So, well, the important thing about that is that the non-coding DNA is now being discovered to be species-specific. It's unique from one species to another. So you don't have these arguments from similarity to common ancestry that those arguments are no longer valid for other reasons. So I was impressed by the defiant tone of the questioner. But, you know, people, before they get so convinced that anyone questioning evolution has stepped off the edge of the rational universe, it's sometimes helpful to get up to date on the most current data in biology.
It's also interesting, Dr. Wells, that you have pointed out that the fossil record flatly says no. There's no evidence for common descent, but there are arguments that have been posited over the years, Goldsmith's hopeful monster theory, Gould's punctuated equilibrium. Maybe you don't have all kinds of vertical transitional forms, but that's because there were leaps.
Well, apparently there were leaps. The question is, what produced them? Goldsmith thought they were what he called macro mutations. That is, you know, a single mutation that at one fell swoop produces a major change in the organism. The problem is, we never see them. Fruit flies have been mutated in every possible way at this point. And yet, no matter what we do to the DNA of a fruit fly, an embryo fruit fly, there's only three possible outcomes: a healthy fruit fly, a sick fruit fly, or a dead fruit fly. The mutations don't change it. So the macro mutation theory just doesn't work.
Jonathan, are you saying the only good fruit fly is a dead fruit fly?
Well, sometimes I think that around my kitchen when we have fruit out. But the point is that the neo-Darwinian mechanism does not do what it's supposed to do.
Another question that just came in, PT in North Carolina, has this question. I want both of you to comment on this. He's talking about a broadcast I did with Lee Strobel on intelligent design, made a couple of points which I think need to be further addressed. He goes on to say the work of Michael Behe has been totally discredited. And he talks about a judge's decision in Pennsylvania which Behe was demonstrated to be a fraud. And he says, finally, you and Lee Strobel unconsciously, I think, commit a dreadful logical fallacy in arguing against evolution. If I were to paraphrase you both, you'd say, I just can't figure out how it's possible. And then you move on to state factually that it can't be possible. Your comments.
Chapter 17 in my book, The Signature in the Cell, addresses this claim head on. The argument is often made that the case for intelligent design is nothing more than an argument from ignorance, and the argument is parodied as saying the following: since we can't think of how evolution could have produced system X, therefore it must have been intelligently designed, or therefore God must have done it. Well, if that was how we were arguing, that would be an argument from ignorance. But we're not arguing that way. We're saying that there are certain features of living systems, for example, the information encoded in DNA, that have not been accounted for by any known natural cause, by any cause that we can observe in our present experience. But in addition to that, we know of a cause that is capable of producing, for example, specified digital information, and that cause is intelligence. So when we survey the array of possible causal explanations, intelligent design is best, not because of what we don't know, but because of what we do know about A, the inner workings of life, and B, about the cause and effect structure of the world, about what we see occurring in our uniform and repeated experience. So it's not the argument for intelligent design is not an argument from ignorance. It's an inference to the best explanation. And as for the judge in central Pennsylvania, I'll put my money on Mike Behe, biochemist, Lehigh University, any day over a federal judge. The discussion of the origin of life is not something that can be decided by a federal judge. And Judge Jones was operating way above his pay grade. And Behe has not been refuted. His ideas about irreducible complexity, I think, have been reinforced by recent developments in biochemistry, quite the contrary to his critics.
Dr. Wells, I want to thank you so much for being on the broadcast. It's been a great privilege.
My pleasure.
Dr. Meyer, same as with Dr. Wells, an incredible privilege to have you on the broadcast.
It's been great to be with you, Hank, and thanks for highlighting for your audience this important new resource. I think people are going to be blown away. It's a great mystery story, it's a great scientific argument, and it's all woven together with beautiful visuals.
And again, it's called Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record. It is available to the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000, CRI. Remember, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. Darwin's Dilemma, it is a must for you, for your family, and for your friends. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed On the Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly without predecessors in the geological record. So there was a deep conflict between what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Also check out Signature in the Cell, DNA, Evidence for Intelligent Life by Dr. Stephen Meyer, featured in the DVD, as well as other intelligent design resources featuring today's guest, including the highly acclaimed The Privileged Planet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and Icons of Evolution. You can also write to us at CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles, but it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Sacrifice, the second in the Last Disciple series by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Sacrifice, you'll be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll feel the tension as the early church struggles to follow Christ and share the gospel, despite terrible persecution. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of Bible prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Secure your copy now. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts.
Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information. Information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.